Hello, and welcome to our program, Real Simple, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Shirley Crandall, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the November edition of Real Simple magazine, here on OWL Radio. The picture is of the editor wearing a leopard print dress. Editor's note, ahead of the game. I've always loved the hacks in Real Simple, all 2+ decades worth of them. As the editor, I especially love having a front row seat to the early planning and testing stages. Does our cool punch bowl ice ring need cooking spray to unmold, or a quick dip in hot water? See page 39. To store mini lights, is it better to wrap them around a suit hanger or a coffee can? Results to be decided. And sneak preview, we have a hack in an upcoming winter issue that just may revolutionize the way you think about red bras. As I read article pitches and outlines, some of my most frequent comments are, "Oh my gosh, genius!" and "What took them so long to invent this?" and "I'll never do fill in the blank the same way again," all followed by maybe a dozen purple heart emoji inserted with keyboard shortcuts, of course. So it's safe to say that after working with food director Jenna Helwig and all the cooks at Meredith Food Studios on Be an Early Bird, page 84, I'll never do Thanksgiving the same way again. That is, never again will I peer through the steam from a pot of boiling potatoes and over the hum of the stove's exhaust fan try to hear what my family is laughing about. Thanks to Jenna's OMG genius plan and delicious recipes, every single Thanksgiving staple can be made in advance, then easily and quickly reheated and served, and I can revel in the luxury of sitting around chatting and relaxing and enjoying my family and laughing along with them. I hope you spend your day doing the exact same thing. XO Liz. If you were a kitchen appliance, what would you be and why? A stand mixer. To be coated in sugar and cake batter all the time sounds like a dream. A blender. It would be really satisfying to whirl like a dervish and liquefy things. Definitely an air fryer. It gets along with everyone. You can cook anything in it and always has your back. A coffee maker for sure. I love being the first one up and have a knack for converting friends and family into morning people. A tea kettle, so I can let out some steam now and then. A food processor. Even though it's small, it's mighty. Multitasking, efficient, versatile, space-saving, speedy, precise. Some of my favorite adjectives. A wine opener. Need I say more? Your words. Who would you like to write a thank you note to? The picture is of floral thank you cards, one yellow, one pink, next to some colorful pens. That nice lady in the checkout line who loaded my groceries onto the belt so I could hold my crying baby. My supervisor at my first factory job. She saw something in me and offered me the chance to work a desk job. She changed the trajectory of my life. Today, I own a business helping folks with disabilities achieve their goals. Maria Nelson, Elkhorn, Wisconsin. I have a dear friend I met when I was 4, and we've been writing letters for 43 years. I have boxes of her letters, as I've kept all of them. Jody Kopp, Denver, Colorado. My kindergarten teacher, who gave me books to read at home. She knew my single mom couldn't afford them. At Tucker Pug Mom. The food editors at Real Simple. I look forward to the many new recipes. Denise Sanders, Louisville, Kentucky. My two best friends, a married couple. I'm single, but I'm always included in their plans. We travel and socialize together. I often think that inclusion is a gift they give freely. Darwin Thomas, Georgetown, Texas. My 9-year-old pup, Bailey. I thank him for bringing joy into the house and helping me with all my anxiety. Reba Golden, Lincoln, Rhode Island. My daughter-in-law. She has given us our first grandchild and made sure our time with the baby is so special. Soom Arm, Vadenais Heights, Minnesota. Rhonda, my elderly mom's part-time caregiver. She's kind, patient, and responsible. She's a blessing to my mom and to me as well. Lynn Jansons, Littleton, Colorado. My son's and daughter's birth moms for having the love and courage to choose adoption. At Lori Myers. Robin Williams, oddly enough, for giving me the confidence to be as silly as I want when I perform. I wish I could have met him. Karen Fitzgerald, Dallas, Georgia. My stepdad, for the subtle lessons he taught me as a reliable, actions speak louder than words figure in my life. At Lydia E. Malone. My landlord, for being a good support. Stacy West Neeland, Alston, Massachusetts. The fellow university student who told me about a job opportunity 42 years ago. That led to my 34-year career with the Department of Defense. Terry Faldney, Anaheim Hills, California. The owner of my gym for keeping me sane during the pandemic. Being able to continue working out during the shutdown was incredibly therapeutic. Janet Allman, Tewksbury, Massachusetts. My mother. After dealing with my oldest daughter and her boyfriend issues, I immediately called my mom and apologized for all the crap I put her through. Erin Chard. My kidney donor, Cindy. She's the angel God sent my way to give me a new lease on life. Reader of the Month, Mandy Yang, 36, Decluttering Coach, Minneapolis. Who would you like to write a thank you note to? That sweet old couple who took me back to school, no questions asked, after the car broke down when my friends and I skipped class in 2001. What's always in your bag? A soft measuring tape. It's perfect to measure deep cabinets or narrow bins when organizing. What's on your bucket list? Go with my parents to their homeland of Laos and make a video of where they were born and how they lived so I can pass their stories on to our family. Who makes you laugh the most? My 6-year-old. She sees the world as it is, not how adults believe it to be. What is your favorite tradition? I take a nap every Sunday from 1 to 3. The kids call it mom's nap time. The cleanest thing in your house. My counters. Counters are for doing, not storing. Next question. What is the first thing you notice about a person? Send an email to yourwords@realsimple.com to answer. Your response could appear on these pages. The Books List. Top Picks for Every Taste by Kristen Cusick Lewis. The page is a teal color with a stack of books, a blue planter with a green plant, a blue glass, and a blue tapered candle. Twisty Suspense. Jordan Manning is a Chicago TV reporter with a knack for breaking big stories. She gets the challenge of her career when she begins investigating the mysterious death of a teenage girl and the serial killer who may be to blame. The first in a series by Emmy Award-winning journalist Tamron Hall as The Wicked Watch has all the hallmarks of a great thriller, with a fast-moving plot, an unforgettable protagonist, and lots of fascinating insights into TV newsrooms and the biases influencing whose stories get told. Must-read memoir. Playwright Sarah Roll leveled up on life when she gave birth to twins after a high-risk pregnancy, just as her first play was making its Broadway debut. But while she was recovering in the hospital, one side of her face suddenly became paralyzed. It was Bell's palsy, the rare kind that does not resolve itself swiftly. Smile, Rule's riveting memoir about her 10-year journey to find a cure, is a beautiful meditation on identity and how we see ourselves. Spellbinding Story. In The Sentence, The new novel by Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award winning Louise Erdős, we meet Tookie, a formerly incarcerated bookseller. On All Souls Day 2019, she discovers that the Minneapolis bookstore where she works is haunted by the store's most annoying customer, who died that day. As 2020 begins, the irreverent and funny Tookie grapples with the ghost, then the pandemic, then the protests. Her journey, captured in Erdős expert prose, is a cathartic and comforting story that book lovers will gobble up. Dishy nonfiction. Truman Capote's never-published final novel was a thinly veiled account of the secret lives of his swans, the wealthy women he befriended as his star rose. When word of the project spread, the swans swiftly dumped him. In Capote's Women, best-selling biographer Lawrence Leamer zeroes in on glamorous mid-century Manhattan, revealing the scandals that could have inspired Capote's biggest success, but instead led to his downfall. Feel-good fiction. In Heard It in a Love Song by Tracy Garvis Graves, Layla is a 35-year-old elementary school music teacher who's trying to move on from a disappointing past, including a singing career that never took off and a bad marriage that has finally ended. Josh is the newly single father of a kindergartner who catches her eye at school drop-off. What ensues is a classic friends become lovers story with characters you'll find familiar and can't help rooting for. My simple realization: home should be relaxing. After a year of traveling between short-term rentals, Joaquin Gonzalez rethinks her decor. The picture is a drawing of a table with an open book, a steaming mug of a hot beverage, and someone in white and yellow polka dot socks with their feet crossed. There are people I consider movers, who pack up and find a new home every few years. I'm a stayer. I spent 10 years in one apartment and 16 years on a single block, when a series of events resulted in my spending a year in 8 Airbnbs in 4 cities, I had no choice but to lean into an adventure. Inhabiting the dwellings of others fundamentally altered my idea of what making a home means. Prior to this, I believed aesthetics made for a nice home. A houseplant here, a cabinet of vintage stemware there. But on my first morning in my rental in Hudson, New York, I discovered I was just as content in a house with little to offer by way of amenities, but 2 mismatched mugs. It got nice light in the morning for coffee and had a cozy porch to drink wine on at night. In Kingston, New York, I realized community was key, thanks to the couple who owned the amazing bookstore and coffee shop down the street from my rental. They made an outsider like me feel right at home. While staying in Santa Monica, California, I learned that no matter how beautiful a space may be, you can never feel truly relaxed without a proper garbage can in the kitchen. Home should be relaxing. In online dating, not every beautiful picture leads to a person you feel entirely yourself with. My nomadic year taught me that the same goes for abodes. The most beautiful of my rentals was an entanglement of rules, barring a range of things, including red wine and shoes with heels. The rules were designed to preserve the rental's perfection. Sure, but they mostly served to add to my anxieties. When I finally returned to my Brooklyn, New York apartment after a year away, I thought about my own home differently. I picked glasses I didn't care if anyone shattered, a sofa you'd want to take a nap on, a bedspread that hid the dog hair. It's the nicest home I've ever had. Cook these books. No matter what type of recipe you crave, you'll eat up this list of our Food Editor's 2021 favorites by Ananda Edelstein and Jenna Helwig. The picture is of a butter yellow tiled countertop with a cookbook titled Colombiana, lemons, a halved avocado, a watermelon, papaya, pineapple, oranges, and spring onions. Best for armchair travel. Colombiana by Mariana Velasquez. When Velasquez, a U.S.-based food stylist and chef, embarks on a culinary road trip around her home country of Colombia, it's like we're riding along on a vacation, overflowing with culture, color, and tropical fruit. The book's menus serve as guides for crowd-pleasing dinner parties, and Velasquez's tips on how to set the scene with just the right flowers, linens, and playlists will inspire you. You'll finish the book itching to plan both a dinner party and a real getaway. $32.50 from Harper Wave. Best for baking, with a side of stories. Life is What You Bake It by Valerie Lomas. In 2017, Lomas won the Great American Baking Show, an epic accomplishment she believed would help her transition from her career as an attorney to her dream job as a professional baker. But when the series stopped airing mid-season due to sexual harassment allegations against a judge, it felt like all her hard work was erased. Lomas tells that story, plus more, about growing up in southern Louisiana, baking with her remarkable grandmother, Willie Mae, and the universally relatable struggle to make the life you envision for yourself. Oh yes, and the recipes for cakes, cookies, cupcakes, and brownies are to die for. $30 from Clarkson Potter. Best for easy dinner solutions. Ready, Set, Cook by Dawn Perry. These insightful and playful pages tackle the eternal dinnertime conundrum: how to get a tasty meal on the table with what's on hand. Perry, a former food director at Real Simple, fills this book with recipes and tips that revolve around the pantry, freezer, fridge, and includes advice on how to stock them wisely. If you're already in your weeknight dinner groove, you'll discover boredom-proof twists on familiar favorites. And if you're a kitchen novice, this book will help you feel like a pro in no time. $30, Simon & Schuster. Best for breakfast inspiration, Baking with Dory by Dory Greenspan. We want to try everything in baking queen Dory Greenspan's gorgeous new book, but the breakfast recipes really make our mouths water. From cheddar scallion scones to cinnamon raisin twist bread to homemade English muffins, you'll gladly wake up early to get these morning glories on the table. What's more, Greenspan gives storing instructions, offers suggestions on how to tweak recipes, and explains how to avoid common pitfalls. She loves homespun muffins as much as fancy brioche buns, and her chatty voice makes bakers of every level feel like they have a friend in the kitchen. $35, Mariner Books. Best for the Vegetarian Curious, The Weekday Vegetarians by Jenny Rosenstrach. Like many of us, The Dinner, a love story blogger, Jenny Rosenstrach, knew all of the benefits of a plant-based diet, but the mom of two teenagers wasn't ready to give up meat cold turkey. And she certainly wasn't about to forego dinnertime deliciousness. Instead, she and her family began eating meatless meals on weekdays. It wasn't easy at first. As Rosenstrach writes, it's one thing to know you want to eat in a more plant-based direction, and an entirely different thing to execute that pledge night after night. But thanks to this book, we have the fruits and veggies and tacos and soups of her labor to make our own plant-forward meals as effortless as they are satisfying. $32.50, Clarkson Potter. Best for Edible Projects, To Asia with Love by Hetty McKinnon. While we adore the easy noodle dishes, speedy soups, and creative tray bakes in this book, it's the recipes for hand-pulled noodles and homemade dumplings that are most intriguing. McKinnon, Chinese-Australian by birth and now a resident of Brooklyn, New York, makes every recipe, no matter how long, feel supremely doable. She shares how she learned to prep dumplings at her mother's side and writes that now, making them is a form of meditation, a way for me to slow down and find balance in my daily life. Happily, she demystifies the process for those of us who weren't lucky enough to learn as children, including step-by-step photos, ingredient substitutions, and creative filling ideas. She even shows how to use store-bought wrappers, in case that's project enough. $35, Prestel. Best to read like a novel, Cheese, Wine, and Bread by Katie Quinn. At age 27, Quinn was in a skiing accident that left her with a brain injury. Regaining her balance required months of physical therapy. After her recovery, she found herself obsessed with, of all the unlikely things, fermentation, in the form of cheese, wine, and bread. In this book, we follow along on her journey as she meanders through England, Italy, and France, discovering the secrets of these three timeless foods. The book leads with captivating stories and overflows with culinary revelations, memorable characters, and simple, tasty recipes. $30, William Morrow. Best to Get Your Italian Fix. Sicilia by Ben Tisch. Dive into the sun-soaked pages of this ode to Sicily and its diverse, bountiful cuisine. Almonds, citrus, saffron, and pomegranates never looked so good. Written by a renowned British chef fascinated by Sicilian food, this book delivers the perfect balance of approachable weeknight meals, like pasta al forno with a cheesy golden crust, and show-stopping weekend projects, like saffron arancini with pork and veal ragu. Don't miss the baked squash, mini ricotta stuffed delights perfect for adorning a holiday table, and the desserts, paradiso. 35. Bloomsbury Absolute. Guides. Simple twist. Pretty cool punch. The picture is of a large punch bowl with red punch, floating cranberries and lemon and orange slices, and glasses of punch around the bowl. To keep the drink frosty all night long, make an ice ring by freezing water in a Bundt pan. Yep, the same one you use for Nana's pound cake. Lightly coat the inside with an unflavored nonstick cooking spray, then fill to about an inch from the top with water. For a festive touch, add cranberries, lemon slices, or fresh herbs like rosemary or thyme. Freeze until solid, about 5 hours. Let the pan sit on the counter for 10 minutes before sliding the ice out, then gently place the ice in the punch bowl and start ladling out that holiday cheer. Martha Upton. Things cooks know. Plan a potluck like a pro. Thanksgiving and group efforts go together like mashed potatoes and gravy. This guide will make your get-together run so smoothly you'll ever wonder why you cooked the whole meal yourself, by Jenna Helwig. The picture is a drawing of a roast turkey on a platter, a bowl of cranberries, gravy, plates, a side dish of vegetables, and a flower arrangement. Organizing how-to. Manage the menu. While many people find joy in the luck part of a potluck, Exhibit A, 6 bowls of cranberry sauce. Thanksgiving requires at least a little structure, says Carla Laley Music, author of That Sounds So Good. Decide what you'll make, then assign the rest of the menu by category. Hot sides, cold sides, desserts, and appetizers. Give guests free rein within those groupings, she says. The beauty is in the coming together. If you still crave more control, start a Google Doc where guests can note what they plan to bring to avoid overlaps. People will most likely be flattered by specific requests. If one of my guests makes an incredible apple pie or an unforgettable green bean casserole, I'll ask for that, says Elizabeth Van Leerde, author of Everyday Entertaining. The picture is a drawing of a plate of pumpkin-shaped cookies decorated with orange and green frosting, a pie with berries strewn across one corner, labeled gluten-free cranberry tart, and a maple pumpkin pie with daubs of whipped cream all around the edge. DIY wisely. Many hosts find it's easiest to roast the turkey themselves, but there's no rule about whose task it is. If there are other dishes you simply must have or enjoy making, like your famous mac and cheese, delegate the turkey. The bird needs to rest a bit when it gets out of the oven anyhow. It can do that in the backseat of your sister's car. No matter what, set out at least one pre-dinner nibble and a few beverage options in case the people responsible for bringing those are literally late to the party. Include the non-cooks. Guests who are less comfortable in the kitchen can still contribute. Ask for flowers, wine, a pie from a local bakery, or even a playlist, Van Leerdy suggests. Deal with dietary restrictions. To cover your bases, Music recommends slotting in a vegetarian or vegan appetizer and at least two vegetarian or vegan side dishes. This can be as simple as subbing veggie stock for chicken stock in dressing or omitting bacon from the Brussels sprouts. If you have a guest coming who has really specific dietary needs, she says, ask them to bring a dish that works for them. Farm out platters, too. You can ask guests to bring a serving dish and utensil along with their contribution, but to be safe, have a couple of extra platters and spoons handy in case someone forgets. Serving smarts. Clean up first. Before guests arrive, clear counters to make room for dishes. Also strive for an empty sink, dish rack, and dishwasher. And don't forget to clear a shelf or two in the fridge, if possible, so you won't be reorganizing your condiments while a guest stands awkwardly behind you, salad in hand. Time it right. While the turkey rests, reheat the sides. You typically don't have to stress about minor temperature differences. If one recipe calls for a 350-degree oven and the other a 400-degree oven, meet in the middle at 375 and just keep an eye on things. For extra ease, Music recommends asking guests to bring dishes that are tasty at room temperature, like roasted vegetables and grain salads. Go buffet style. Potlucks call for a serve-yourself setup. To keep the line running smoothly, place plates at the beginning, but keep the silverware and napkins on the dining table. It can be tricky to juggle those while you're filling up and transporting your plate, Van Leerdy says. Take a breather. Music's best piece of advice is to make sure that you, the host, are rested and hydrated before guests arrive. Your pregame plan should include time to take a shower, put your feet up for 10 minutes, and change your clothes. I've been stuck in prep mode when the doorbell rings, and it's not a fun feeling. Healthy at home. Test your immunity IQ. The picture is of a drawing of a kitchen, a lady at a sink washing her hands. There's a large potted plant behind her, and her cat is grooming himself on the floor next to her. Sharpen Your Disease-Fighting Smarts as We Head into Cold and Flu Season by Amy Macklin. By now, we're all too familiar with the drill: wash your hands, stay away from sick people, and keep your shots up to date. But how much do you know about supporting the immune system, which forms our line of defense against insidious viral invaders? Test your knowledge here. The best way to boost your immune system is to A. exercise, B. eat nutritious food, C. sleep, D. all of the above, E. none of the above. Answer: D and E. All right, this was a bit of a trick question. The idea of an immunity boost is misguided. The immune system is a complex enterprise, and when it's overactive, that can be just as harmful as when it's underactive. Think of autoimmune diseases in which the body attacks itself. So rather than boost the immune system, we want to balance it. The best way to do that is with lifestyle choices, says Sandra Darling, DO of the Cleveland Clinic Center for Integrative and Lifestyle Medicine. That means getting at least 150 minutes of moderate physical activity, such as brisk walking, a week, eating plenty of fruits and veggies, and sleeping 7 to 9 hours at night. True or false, a plant-based diet may help reduce the severity of COVID-19. Answer: true. In one study, vegetarian healthcare workers in 6 countries had a 73% lower chance of contracting moderate to severe COVID than their meat-eating counterparts. Plants are so important because they bring in antioxidants, says Susan Bloom, MD, author of the Immune System Recovery Plan, and founder of the Bloom Center for Health in Rybrook, New York. Think of your immune system as a battalion of soldiers. Every time they fire bullets, they have to reload, which generates oxidative stress. Antioxidants help them recover so they can go back out to the front line. to get the most diverse range of antioxidants and nutrients, particularly immunity-supporting vitamins A, B, 6, C, and E, eat the rainbow by picking produce in a variety of colors: red peppers, orange carrots, yellow citrus, and leafy greens. Which two of the following can benefit the immune system? Donuts, caring for a sick relative, scary movies, or wine o'clock? Answer: scary movies and wine o'clock. According to a study in the journal Stress, people who watched a horror film had increased levels of infection-fighting white blood cells afterward. Perhaps the result of the fight-or-flight response our bodies produce when something scares our pants off, which can be beneficial in small doses. And if you want to wind down with a fruity Cabernet, that's okay. Red wine's anti-inflammatory compounds can offer immune-supporting benefits. But moderation is key, Darling cautions. For women, that's one drink per day max, she says. Exceeding that amount is detrimental to the body and can set you up for poor sleep, unhealthy eating choices, and skipping exercise. As for donuts, a number of studies link high blood sugar to a weakened immune response in people with or without diabetes. Prolonged anxiety can also be bad news. It produces high levels of the stress hormone cortisol, resulting in inflammation, which can have destructive effects on the immune system. Which makes up the biggest percentage of the immune system? A, the gut, B, the spleen, C, the lymph nodes, D, bone marrow, or E, lungs? Answer A. It is generally agreed that 70% of your immune system lives in the gut, Bloom says. Your gut microbes help determine your level of inflammation and the degree of impairment to your immunity. For a happier gut, consume lots of fiber and those all-important antioxidants called polyphenols, found in colorful fruits and vegetables as well as nuts and seeds. Bloom recommends a diet that is 75% plants and points out that probiotics can also help create a more balanced internal ecosystem. They directly reduce inflammation, influence the growth of healthy bacteria, and keep the intestinal lining strong, she says. Try yogurt. Bloom advises going with a brand that's organic and grass-fed. Kombucha, but be careful of excess sugar. Sauerkraut, found in your grocery store's refrigerated section, and other fermented vegetables. What should you put on your shopping list? A, vitamin D supplements. B, turkey tail mushrooms. C, pomegranate juice. D, garlic. E, all of the above. Answer, E. Many of us are low on vitamin D, which improves the operation of the cells that regulate immune function, Bloom says. The recommended dietary allowance for adults under 70 is 600 IU, but many of my patients take 2000 IU daily. I base the dosage on blood tests and where the patient lives. Talk to your doctor about possible supplementation. Bloom is also a fan of mushrooms. They can increase activity in a type of white blood cell referred to as a natural killer cell. If your produce section isn't teeming with turkey tails, shiitakes and the modest button variety can help get the job done. Bloom takes a daily mushroom supplement. She likes Fungi Perfect's My Community, a complex of 17 species. Also, pomegranate juice has three times as many antioxidants as green tea and wine, so consider it a virtuous nightcap. And Darling recommends garlic as well as ginger and turmeric, all of which have anti-inflammatory properties. Which of the following supports immunity? A, chewing your food. B, walking in the woods. C, clearing your schedule. D, all of the above. E, none of the above. D, your mom was right about chewing your food thoroughly. According to a study in the journal Immunity, chewing stimulates the Th17 immune cells, which can activate a protective response in the gums. And the fresh air you inhale on a forest walk contains antibacterial and antifungal compounds called phytoncides that help not only plants but also humans fight disease. In one Japanese study, people who took a three-day trip to forested areas had higher natural killer cell activity for more than 30 days afterward. A bonus benefit of a wooded walk? It may reduce stress, which produces that inflammation-sparking cortisol we want to avoid. Unfortunately, it's not practical to escape to the forest whenever we're tearing our hair out, which is why Bloom recommends controlling what we can. We're always going to have stressors, she says. The question is, how do you develop a bulletproof vest so the stressor doesn't activate your body's stress response in an ongoing way? Shift your mentality and give yourself permission to not overbook yourself and create some way every day to breathe and turn off that stress system. True or false? During cold and flu season, you need to up your vitamin C supplements. Answer, false, most likely. You're better off getting your vitamin C from fruit like citrus fruits, strawberries, red bell peppers, spinach, and broccoli. If you need a little extra, take 500 milligrams once or twice a day, Darling says. Don't take more than one at a time because your body won't absorb it. The limit for adults is 2,000 milligrams per day, though too much dietary vitamin C is unlikely to be harmful. Mega doses of C supplements may cause diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting, and that doesn't sound so healthy at all. You've been listening to Real Simple on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Shirley Crandall saying goodbye from Owl Radio.